yo. My raps are vintage for instance. I go the extra distance in linguistics, and I have them using physics. Like, what's the force behind a civet? Kinetic energy is like a spirit. Fast and the Furious, just a snippet. Now picture a speeding bull like in the Matrix. It's time to free my mind and stop these agents. I'm on surveillance because I didn't pledge allegiance to the elitist. Can you keep a secret? It's so strategic. I'm moving chess pieces in psychokinesis because spoon don't exist. So will my people resist? Or would you rather live in ignorant bliss? This world is it.
Okay, the deep end.
You know I had to do it. I mean, we got a special guest in the building, everybody, so had to bust out the lyrics. Just wanted to say thank you guys for tuning in. If you haven't already subscribed to the show, please feel free to go to thedeependpod.com. There you can find all of our various platforms. You can follow us on social media. Today is a very special episode. We have actually two special guests in the building. One of the special guests, he's an old high school friend of mine. He's attended the prestige Morehouse College. He then went on to create Lyricology 101. He is one of the most talented, funniest guys I know, and probably in your circle as well. His name is Andre Gaynor.
What's going on, y'all? Absolute pleasure to be here.
Thanks for being on, Andre. And my second guest goes back to the days of the WWF, when people didn't give a rat's ass. He's the co-founder of the Notorious Pin, and he was a host of the Mark and Andre show, and he's the current host of Come Sit With Us, Mark the Player Slayer Flores.
Isaiah, it's a true pleasure to be a part of this show, not only with you, but with Andre as well. We all know that this deadly triangle is about to provide one hell of an episode for you.
Yeah, we're about to unleash. Call it Bermuda.
It's the Bermuda Triangle. It's the Phil Jackson Triangle. Whatever triangle you have in your life that's like crazy paradigm shift, it's right here right now.
Yeah.
So we were recently celebrating Andre's birthday. Happy birthday, Andre.
Happy birthday, man.
Thank you.
We were at the Roadhouse, which is our local, like, you know, pub spot. They recently got this little upgrade now, so they kind of, I don't know.
I think they're a little too fancy for us now. It used to be our great watering hole. Used to go there on rainy days when the roof was leaking.
Yeah, the roof leaked. It was just a perfect hole in the wall. It literally was the Roadhouse, and that's what it felt like.
I don't feel like I'm going to get stabbed there anymore. I think that vibe is gone,
You want the feeling greatly. Like your life might end possibly, who knows what could happen.
There was always a moment where I assumed the man next to me has a weapon, and it made me feel in a way safe, but also fearful enough to be cautious. And it doesn't feel like that anymore. It feels like a bar now.
Yeah, like a regular ass bar. Like a Chili's, like a Friday's.
The time we went was the only time I didn't have a knife on me at that bar.
The one day we didn't bring a knife.
I should just leave my knife here.
So that was good times. Did we really plan a Vegas trip? I don't know if that was in my dreams or if that really happened.
We did. There is a cancellation afoot because of outside lodging.
External interference with lodging.
High of this, like, yeah, like Vegas, like Vegas, we called up our friend Jonathan Ford. He was like, what's going on? We're like, we're coming. And I don't know if that was real.
It was all real.
Yeah, it was all real. Once the hallucination wore off, it was actually
the
real.
Hallucination. Yeah, we had one hell of a party, huh?
Because I woke up the next day like, oh shit, like we're really going to Vegas. Like, let me prepare a little bit, make sure, you know, my plans are in order.
No, I woke up to already packed bag.
I don't already bought my plane ticket.
Yeah, a plane ticket that I don't need.
The plane ticket to Vegas.
Right. No, it's the plane ticket back.
We're going to drive to Vegas from Vegas to my house.
I'll see you guys over there. I already got a plane ticket.
Yeah, I already got a plane ticket back, so just drive me there.
Just pick me up at the airport. Okay, you just wait the length of time when I pick you up from the airport, so I still have to get to Vegas, dude, and pick you up. So you're going to be waiting the same length of time.
Yeah.
Have fun with that.
Yeah. I thought that was funny.
Yeah, so, I'll be at the airport waiting for y'all to get to me.
So the plans are canceled then? That's a negative. That's a no-go.
We'll still have something for Andre, but let's save that for after the show. Does Jonathan Ford know?
Is he expecting us?
No. Or? Ford is the one who canceled
He was like, hey guys, you guys were lit yesterday. I can't.
He just said it's a situation he couldn't afford.
Stupid. So.
Nothing of that sort. It's just things outside of his control. Yeah, there's still some festive planning afoot. Yeah.
Do you remember
I took
over the phone call for a little bit and I was like, Mark Flores wants to get fucked up.
Yeah. I heard some crazy plans going down and I'm like, I didn't second that at all.
Yeah, it's right. No wonder why he probably canceled that.
his girlfriend's probably here and is like, you're not going. You're not going at all.
No, she's like, what are you doing? We're going to the Luxor and we're going to steal a mummy. No.
We're going to steal Excalibur. Something. They have it there at the castle.
We're going to get it and we're going to pull it out. Be the first ones to do it.
Oh, man.
Hold Excalibur right at the top of the Luxor. Lightning bolt comes onto the sword.
And then
Andre turns into an X-Men on his birthday celebration.
Exactly.
Wow.
Shout out to Charles Xavier.
One of the interesting things that has come up in recent news was David Chappelle. We're all big fans of David Chappelle. I wanted to talk about this because, you know, there's some things to really unravel here and unpack. Although Dave Chappelle already done an excellent job of that, there's no need to even go further. But, you know, let's do it because why not? You know, we're going to end up talking about it anyways. Why not record it? So... Recently, he's had some backlash over what he said in his recent, special called The Closer. I know there's employees right now of Netflix who are planning to walk out, or if they already did a walkout by the time this recorded, I don't know. But there's a walkout plan because they're demanding Netflix take this down, because it's transphobic. And also,
I'm not laughing at it.
Yeah, of course.
We'll address that.
There was claims of it being transphobic, you know, it was attacking the trans community. And Dave Chappelle, I mean, this isn't the first time this has happened to him. Maybe he's put out several episodes or specials that have received the same, you know, backlash. Mm-hmm. So now this is kind of the closer, he's him closing this scenario and says, you know what, don't be surprised, this is going to be the last one for a while. And he puts his stamp on it. I thought he did a beautiful job, but that comes with some controversy, of course. So I wanted to bring this up and talk about it with you guys, because you guys are big Dave Chappelle fans. I know, you know, with both of you being in improv, you guys understand that world a little bit more deeper than I do. You know, just well, in that
got,
practice.
We definitely got some Dave Chappelle DNA, without a doubt.
Yeah, for sure. So I guess I'll just start by asking, you know, the outrage that we've seen over this by the trans community, is it warranted? Is that valid?
You know, I'll take a first stab at it.
Yeah.
And to quote a bunch of people from the great state of New York, that shit ain't valid, B. comedy
sauce, son.
A comedy special.
Uh-huh.
Dave could have went the whole nine and just did it in person and just had like a tape delay for the special to show up like 3 months down the line. He could have then let, you know, there could have been measures taken for it, but no, this isn't that. This is a Netflix special. This is him doing a contractually obligated appearance for a special. His stand-up is a sacred... Any stand-up for any comedian is a sacred realm that you're allowed to be funny. Not being outlandishly, like, offensive, but to have jokes that are gonna, you know, sting a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
But in the realm of for comedic effect. Dave may not... You know, Dave doesn't mean those things to the fullest extent. His job is... As a comedian, is to make people laugh.
He made people laugh. They laughed. You heard them.
Yeah,
laugh.
And it's like
documented laughter, you know, on the special.
So it's like
nobody stopped laughing.
Yeah. Everybody in the room's offended. Guilty.
Like, to right. get yeah, exactly. Yeah, and to get jeers, to get jeers from people in the crowd. There's people that were uneasy about it when you heard the jeers inside that special. That's comedy. You're not going to be able to please everybody in that room. The mass audience. As a whole, may have liked it, but there's always going to be a certain sect of like, well, I don't like Dave Chappelle. Well, that's
their
yet your opinion, and that's it. I mean, it's to me going back to circling back to the main point. It's like, you know, this the art of comedy itself has its sacred realm, and that's stand up, that's improv, that is all there for the fact of, yes, exposing, we can say jokes.
Yeah, we can say what we want. That's the concept of a joke. Let me take a second stab at what Mark was doing. And it's like, that's exactly what he said at the beginning. It's a comedy special. So from the moment you even step to the door, like physically, if you were at a haunted house, right? It's Halloween, right? Around Halloween time. If you go to a haunted house and you stand at the front and they say, you're going to be frightened in this haunted house. Like, you know that's going to happen. The moment you accept that ticket and walk in, you should not be upset that you leave scared. Like, that's what it feels like. It feels like people came out offended that a comedian spoke the truth. And to me, okay, there is a difference between improv and stand-up comedy. I feel like with improv, it's like an expression of what the audience wants and you reflect it back to them. We want this and we do it for you. But comedy or stand-up comedy is more so I'm on the stage and I'm going to present the truth to you in a way that we all agree with and some might disagree, but we're all going to have an idea. I feel like every word that's said on that stage is to inspire an idea. And that idea could be a funny idea, or that idea could be a life-changing idea. Mm. And all Dave was saying was, especially in his earlier specials, he was just like, you guys are an easy target because simply put, you guys are trying to appear like you're struggling the same way that Black people did, right? And that was the earlier specials, not this, not the closer, not the closer, but the earlier specials. That was kind of his punchline. It was just like, you guys are seriously just taking the entire concept of the LGBTQ, et cetera, community and almost bullying people with it, right?
Ooh.
So with the closer, what he did with the closer was saying with the baby joke, he was like, the baby killed somebody and his career was not altered at all. It did not change, but he offended the LGBTQ community and his career fell apart in front of everybody's eyes. And I mean, I watched people cancel him left and right. It was a meme at one point. It's like, I hereby canceled DaBaby for this reason, right? That was a meme at one point. Everybody was posting it on Twitter. Right. Like, random people's like, I hereby canceled DaBaby from coming to McDonald's. Like, stupid shit like that. So I feel like people just hopped on a bandwagon really fast when DaBaby said his shit, right? And it completely shut him down. But Dave Chappelle, to me, when I was saying to Mark before we got here, is like, it's written too well for you guys to be offended.
Yeah.
It's not like he's saying malicious, fucked up things about this community.
Yeah.
He's actually saying, look, I understand I have friends in this community. I'm a part of this community, if you'd believe it or not. I just want you guys to accept me. And that's what it was, man.
He made them laugh and the whole time gave him enough to where they're laughing so hard. And then they look at, it's like he was playing chess with them.
Right.
And he got him laughing so hard. And Dave at the end is, I got you on checkmate, bitch.
Yeah, exactly.
Because it's like, well, yeah, everything he said has a valid point to it, especially what point he brings up is where he mentions, hey, look, yeah, DaBaby did something way more drastic than what you guys really canceled him for.
Killed a person.
And it's like, you guys are love to magnify certain things and leave everything, leave a lot of things by the wayside. But if it's your agenda, that's where it becomes, oh, we got to cancel you.
Well, can I bring it back real quick?
Yeah. Because,
I mean, you're saying people at Netflix are walking out for the closer, bro. Like legitimate, that shit feels like a marketing tactic because it's not that offensive. When we were in the car, we were listening to it just now. Yeah. I saw it before. But I saw it twice already. And then when we were in the car, I was listening again. And I was like, it's not even offensive, bro. Yeah. Like, it's just Chappelle being Chappelle on stage.
That is a light beer, you know, to the whiskey shots that is Richard Pryor. That exactly, is Eddie Murphy.
Yes, exactly.
That is.
Exactly. So you're saying Richard Pryor anything today on Def Comedy Jam. Anything Def Comedy Jam. Facts. Any season out of the, what, 5-6 seasons.
Well, what white guys would say on Comic View just to make sure they get, you know, the pass from the black audience.
Yeah.
It's interesting, too.
Gary Owen survival jokes.
The way it's shown on the news, like, I pulled up.
Hey, real quick, guys, I love the fact that we're here together because not only have I done a length of shows with you, Isaiah, but I've also done a length with Andre as well, and it honestly just feels great to have.
He's just happy to be back in podcast.
I just know the whip around.
Yeah.
And it's great to do that. But you were saying
very, very natural right now, like this flow of conversation. I was just going to say, like, I was pulling up, like, you know, YouTube's on the whole, you know, scandal, if you even want to call it that, with Dave Chappelle. And, you know, the way that we're, the way that the news was pushing this out, it was like, Dave Chappelle, dong, like, all this, like, you know,
berating, berating the trans community.
Bullying the trans community. Question mark? Like, they're, the way, like, they cut the little bits of what he said, like, completely changed the narrative.
Stuff
of,
to reel you in special. On Facebook articles.
That's what I'm getting. That's what, like, I'm dropping, man.
Even YouTube videos. The typical YouTube video is Dave Chappelle's reactions to jokes, and it's, like, someone that has, like, a... Well, someone that is part of the community, like, and just in shock.
In complete shock.
To just, to just, like, give more fuel to the fire. And, geez, you know what? To give validity to that, my theory is this. It's like, well, my proposal is this. If you're not up to rank to the people that you're trying to cancel, that's null and void. Mm-hmm. I've always stood by that, because it's like, there's people legitimately, like Dave Chappelle, who's been putting work in since he was, before he was 18,
right,
on the comedy circuit, putting in work. There's people on YouTube that have barely let their coffee get warm, trying to do these YouTube videos and just trying to, like, get some buzz. That don't work. To me, that's not valid, because it's like, what gives you, what, why is your opinion valid over someone who's put in so much work and you're just trying to make a big fuss about it? Like, cancellation to me, that whole thing, there's no validity to it. And added to that, to where Dave didn't even say anything offensive, because his whole bit was just, this is the truth. It offends you guys because, hey, there's actually some good points that Dave brings up, and ugh. I'd hate for this to get to the surface.
Nah, Bill Burr's paper, I think it's called Paper Tiger. Bill Burr's last Netflix special is far more offensive. It's funny when you think about it. Bill Burr had to go to Europe to do that special because he's like, it's too offensive. So I have to do it here. You know, whatever, right? And that special was hardcore. He was talking that shit. And I felt like nobody responded to Bill Burr's commentary. Mm-mm. Dave Chappelle is an easy target, right? Everybody knows who Dave Chappelle is. I almost feel like it's strangely affiliated with his, like, kind of story arc. He blew up and he left the industry. And he made the industry play his game on his with his cards played, right? Mm. He came to Netflix, got his $50 million back, baby. You know what I'm saying? And then what did he do? He Tupac'd that shit and just dropped, what, how many specials in 1 year? Like three? He dropped three specials in a year. The next year, he dropped another three.
You talking Bill?
No, I'm talking about Dave Chappelle. Yeah. Dave Chappelle, when he first got his Netflix deal, he came back, and this fool did three specials in a year. And then the next year, I think he did three more specials. You know what I'm saying? So he knocked his contract out so fast.
Yeah.
Think about that. He did a Netflix contract, I think, for six or seven specials, and he already is done.
I'm gonna play devil's advocate, since I think for the most part all three of us are more or less are on the same page. But let me play devil's advocate and say, you know, after Dave Chappelle's special, I really felt that it was like almost a punch to the face, and almost like now everybody is not going to be so tolerant now to the community. Because they have a lot to fight for and all this stuff that are legitimate things to fight for, as far as, you know, their rights and things that they're trying to fight for. Mm. And it almost kind of feels like now this is going to make them not as valid, I guess, because of the way he put it. It almost makes them seem like, I guess, like they're overreacting.
Yeah.
They are overreacting. Seriously, they're overreacting in a real way.
Anything of what they say should never triumph your right to freedom of speech.
Facts.
You know what I mean? It's like a comedian, Michael Richards, for example, dropping the N-bomb live on stage. Boom, he's done.
Right.
That's established. That's even before cancel culture got in. Dave said some very hilarious jokes, and he also brought a good point. He's like, you trans people sometimes forget that you're trans, but you'll never forget that you're white, or something to that
effect. I think he was saying people in this community, like, they will be a part of the LGBTQ community until it's time for them to be a white person.
Yes.
Right? Meaning, I could start conflict with you, or you could start conflict with me. But the moment I feel like you have breached my security, I'm going to call the police on you, and it's going to work in my favor.
Yeah.
And if we translate that from a small kind of situation to a bigger picture situation, it's the same concept. If somebody that's in the LGBT, I got to get the letters right.
The community.
Fucking letters,
just
man.
Go with the community.
Too many fucking letters. The L community. Yeah. All those in the L community. If you, let's say at work, you know, you're the person that's causing a problem in the L community, though. You're gay, you know, you're flamboyant, and you cause a problem at the job you work at, right? But they get on you for not doing your job correctly, and you can flip it on them and get practically everybody fired. And yeah. I mean that. And yep. and to me, it's like they're abusing their power, right? And that's the joke and the concept that Dave was throwing with that idea. Yeah. It's like, you guys can talk all this shit, act crazy, and be obnoxious and flamboyant until somebody comes to you and calls you out on it. Then you immediately call an authority higher than you, and you bully the person away from you. And that's exactly what happens.
In fact, he was talking about this on the Sticks and Stones, another special he did, about how, you know, he goes that each letter has their own, you know, sect. There's the L's. Excuse me.
You all right?
There's the G's, there's the B's, the T's, the Q's, right? He was describing them all on this bus. And he goes, the G's, you know, those, the gays, right? And they have, he was suggesting that they had more like predominantly white gays. Mm-hmm. And he says, they're the ones driving the bus because they've been here before. They know how to run this. And he goes, man, I'm jealous of this community. I mean, they got so much, they're taking basically our movement. Like as a black person, and he's going, they're like, they're taking basically like, yeah, they're driving running away with it. Yeah, driving away.
They have the framework for it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And it's like, sometimes they do, it's like, man, we've suffered through so much. We've gone through so much. And it's like,
hello,
it's like,
I'm right here, motherfucker. No, but
everybody in every instance at a point has, and it's like, oh, to go back to what you were saying, as far as a devil's advocate, We as Americans, as people in general, have to let's unite for the sake of comedy. Mm-hmm. Can comedy just stay comedy? And like the unwritten rule can be just, hey, look, whatever happens on stage, if you're offended, that's it.
It's true, but Dave Chappelle's so good. It's not just comedy. He has a message behind it, which I think is a great message behind it, but. You know, if you're somebody who's trans and you're offended by this message, you know, I can see that happening, being offended by the message, because it almost kind of does feel like a punch in the face a little bit. You know, and I'm just saying, from that perspective,
right.
you're taking a hit as a trans community over this, because Dave Chappelle made a damn ass good ass point. So
I'm sorry, because I want to tap on this idea, the car analogy that Dave used, right? He was saying that the G's had a role. The L's had a role, and the B's had a role, but the T's, he said, the T's just are that motherfucker that just jumped in the car, right? And it's like, and the T's, anything the T's say, everybody else in the car is like, shut the fuck up, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And I got the joke in a way. It's like, because he even said, he's like, I don't know what the fuck you even are,
you're
right?
You're slowing us down.
You're slowing us down, right? And I don't even know what you are, man or woman or whatever the fuck you are, right? I think it's just, if you look at the bigger picture of the trans community, they have options that your casual person doesn't have, right? And that's the real shit. It's like, if you're going to change your sex, that's a big move, right?
Yeah.
Or if you're born that way, that's even deeper, because, I mean, you're just in a whole different bracket of humanity. If you want to be scientific about it, all right? Let's be real. So Dave said in his specials, they're an easy target. That's basically the concept of the joke. He said, I can't stop writing jokes about these niggas because they're an easy target. They get offended.
Yeah, there's more layers to a person who is trans than there is to just person that is just gay.
Right, right. You
know, I hear that.
With the whole bigger picture of it all is just Dave is trying to present this idea. And it's the community that they have is strong and they bully their way through whatever they want, right? And then they connect their dots and say, we're just like the black movement, the civil rights movement. And the reality of it is, no, you're not. You're not enduring any of the civil rights experiences, even though you guys are enduring and experiencing hate on that level. You guys did not experience the civil rights movement of the past. Nobody, we're never going to go through that again, you know, but a lot of those people from that community like to connect themselves to it for some reason. That's all Chappelle is saying in these specials. That's it. It's a comedy special, so sit your ass down and laugh. If you're offended, turn the special off. That makes me think a trans person sat through the whole special and just got offended the whole way through.
Well, did you see there was a, there was somebody who zoomed in on like the crowd, and I guess there was like this, like there was like these two white ladies in there. One of them was like a bit older. He goes, was Dave Chappelle talking about this lady? She's like, wow. Right there not laughing.
I mean, because if you ain't laughing at a special, I mean, you stand out a lot. Right. I mean, I've seen that. I've seen that before. Like,
you know, I thought like how fascinating it is like that only Dave Chappelle could be like the person to like negotiate for DaBaby. You know what I mean?
Right.
For, to negotiate for like who else could do
that? Yeah, to write a bit so good that it's like, yeah, he kind of has a point.
He said, I'm here to negotiate for DaBaby.
Sometimes like, sometimes you need someone to be on that big stage to present facts like that because no one else is going to hear people like that. You know, it's like the 9/11 truther at in front of the 9/11 memorial. He's gonna say his thing, and he may get fucked up, or it could be like some like crazy conspiracy. It could be Jesse Ventura and be like, oh, 9/11 was such and such, and it's like, no, well, we could listen to him. You know, there's certain things to that.
Yeah.
And that's the example I'm getting from it, and it's like, you know what, back in the day, everybody was laughing at Chappelle's show.
Right. And let's say this. The Chappelle show was far more offensive than the specials that Dave is doing today. And I don't understand.
To everybody. Everybody was on the hit list. Black people, everybody.
Can we get a simple idea out there really fast? A simple idea is that everybody right now is trying to be a social media influencer, which with whatever method they have, whether it be their tweets, Instagram, YouTube, TikTok, etc., right? So a lot of these people are not posting their true opinions at all. They're just doing reaction videos to Dave Chappelle's special and acting like they support the cause, which raises the statistics higher, right? How many people are offended?
How many people are watching about it?
Exactly. Mm-hmm. How many people watch these offended people and just through influence got offended because they were offended? My favorite reactor got offended by Dave Chappelle. I don't like Dave Chappelle anymore. This new generation doesn't know the Chappelle show, and we all have to accept it. You know, we're getting older. It is what it is. They don't know Chappelle show like we don't know it. We grew up with it intimately.
Right.
It's part of our comedy. It's what we do, right? That's just what it is. This new generation, they're not connected to Dave Chappelle's comedy. They, as far as they're concerned, the first experience they had with Dave was his first Netflix special. And that's what we have to go off of. If that's what offends them, if that's what it is, that's just what it is. But I hate this idea. It's not like comedians get on stage and freestyle and just say shit on stage. I think there's an assumption that people think stand-up comedians just freestyle. He wrote this. He wrote it so well. He wrote this whole special. That's what we're saying. He wrote the shit out of this. There's no way he messed this up. He thought about everything he said and practiced it.
You know, even down to like he said a Jew joke like pretty early on. He goes, "Oh, it's gonna get worse than that."
Yeah, it's gonna get worse than that.
Like he already planned that to set you up to like, okay, that was pretty bad, but to kind of prepare you, something else is coming.
Let me give you the appetizer real quick. Then I'm gonna drop the 72-ounce steak a little later.
and the trick is, if you laughed at the joke I just said, y'all can't say shit about what I'm gonna say next.
Right.
That's great writing. Right. The only people I know that pulls that off excellently is Dave Chappelle and Louis C.K. and Daniel Tosh. Daniel Tosh does that too. Daniel Tosh, he wrote a fucked up joke, a really messed up joke. And the follow-up joke was worse than that one. And people got offended. He said, nah, you can't say that because the last joke I just said, y'all laughed as hard as you could. You laughed your heads off at this last joke. So I'm going to finish this joke and you're going to laugh. And at the end of the punchline, we laughed. So that's the power of comedy. They tell you the truth and you react to it. Richard Pryor is a great example. Eddie Murphy is a great example. All they did was tell you the truth on stage and you responded to it.
The opening bit of Delirious, he literally says verbatim, he's like, I gotta watch myself too. One of you faggots out here is gonna try to have sex with me.
Right.
Like something to that effect. But it's like he said that. And it's like, if you guys really wanna like start doing some retroactive cancellation, get to work. Like, don't just like go with what's hot. Like, cancel everybody.
Better start finding some tweets.
You know, get Richard Pryor canceled from the grave. Have a seance and be like, we were offended, Richard Pryor. We wanted to call the Towers of the North, the Towers of the West, and all Satan himself to resurrect you and to tell you that we're offended.
And okay, we're canceling
I guess you.
You
all motherfuckers are offended. And then goes back.
What do you guys
we're
think? We're
hereby cancel you.
Yeah,
you
we're here to cancel you. Postmortem. Get out of here. This is ridiculous. You know what?
Rise
no, walkouts at Netflix, bro. Wait, but hold up. Walkouts at Netflix that they made Squid Game,
I
bro.
Heard,
they present, like, you know what I'm saying?
They, and Netflix that? Still airs it.
Right, you know what I mean? They didn't cut it off. You know, the co-CEO had made a statement like, low-key just saying, you guys are tripping on the special.
How much money we make? Keep the special on.
And you know, the thing I'm thinking from Netflix is saying, if we took Dave Chappelle out down now, let's say this blows over and all that, and Dave Chappelle decides he wants to do another thing, well, he ain't going to Netflix.
Well, and that's, ooh. No. The, first of all, no. If they take the special down,
I'd be
we
pissed.
Got a whole, yeah, we got a whole
I'd use
problem.
My right for right. freedom of speech
whole,
to protest
yeah,
against
that.
We
got annihilated.
A whole different protest
yeah,
going
we got,
on.
Yeah,
right?
We got a freedom of speech problem ooh. Now.
Did you guys hear about the guy who actually, and I posted this recently on my my Instagram, but there's this dude that had was at an anti Dave Chappelle like rally. Oh, yes. And he had a sign that says, I like Dave. And within seconds he got berated. He, to the same vein of people utilizing the wow. freedom of speech to be anti Dave.
Yeah.
He got his message taken down at the anti Dave Chappelle rally. Mm-hmm. I sense tremendous irony in that because had he had like at least the same amount of people that the other side had, it'd been, you wouldn't be ripping signs down. Otherwise, you'd start this crazy commotion. But one guy was like, I like Dave. I think he's funny. Let people laugh. People laugh. It's all jokes.
Right. And isn't laughter good for the people? We just can't. Let's talk about this. We just got out of the worst year, right? We just got out of the worst year. Why are we offended about things that are not relevant to our health? Are you dying because of this shit? Like, did you catch COVID because of your offense?
Yeah, people that weren't even there got offended. And it's like, yeah, you watched the special, but it's like a lot of people are getting offended about things that they weren't even a part of physically.
If I don't like a movie and I go to the movie theater, I'm not going to pay for my ticket to go see it, right? Netflix's problem is it's completely free. You can walk into that door if you want to. And Chappelle said it in one of his previous specials. It's like, you picked my face. You clicked my picture. Yeah. So why are you offended? If you don't like it, leave. That's how I see it too. If you're not liking the special, leave. If you stay for the special and you go on Twitter and rant for like 20 minutes, then you want attention. Mm-hmm. You want somebody to respond to you to acknowledge you. And it's not about Dave Chappelle no more. It's about your fucking ego. It's a lot of egos floating around here because what he did is not strong enough to have a walkout at Netflix. Netflix that has presented some of the most disturbing films and shows.
Yeah. Playing Saw.
Bird Box.
Hostel.
Hostel 2.
They even had the nerve to play Geely. That movie sucked.
I was disturbed. Glitter.
Yeah.
Star Mariah Carey.
Yeah.
Shazam.
What do you guys think about Dave Chappelle relating to feminism and saying he's a feminist?
He is. Without a doubt. Okay, let's say this. Dave Chappelle is a politician. And from his perspective, he speaks for both sides. Right? He's a neutral party that can see both sides evenly. And he's going to tell jokes that tells the truth about both sides regardless. I'm going to talk shit about Democrats. I'm going to talk shit about Republicans. And the Democrats and the Republicans are both going to laugh because we all agree. We all get it. That's how he is, man. That's what Chappelle does. Chappelle's so good. That's why we're aiming at Chappelle. If it was a bad comedian, we'd go, he just sucks.
Yeah, I like Chappelle. How you brought up the writer for the Harry Potter books. And like, he
J.K. made
a pretty bold statement saying, like, I'm turf, like, you know, but, and that could have probably got the trans community and stuff upset. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, he makes a valid point. He goes, everybody in the room, you came out of a woman. Like, that's fact.
Mm-hmm. Well, you said he?
He,
no, it.
As in...
It.
No, they, I was saying Dave Chappelle.
Oh, I thought you were talking about J.K. Rowling. I was like, he?
No.
I'm a couple drinks deep, guys. Yeah, forgive me. I was like, he?
No, he was saying the crowd and everything. And he was just saying, you know, what if LeBron decided one day he was a woman and he would he have to join the WNBA? Mm-hmm. Would he have to dominate the game and make like, you know, and kill it? And win championships in the WNBA? Like, right. You know, where
does
it...
What would they do? What would they convert? Did they have, would they have to convert his awards and winnings? But I think what Dave... Or that whole concept is, it's an ethics lesson, right? It's all about ethics at this point. Because ethically, you know, if we're responding to the fact that trans people are just super different, right? And that the people make decisions to change their sexuality... And it's disturbing to people because we haven't seen that a lot, right? Yeah. We grew up in the 80s and 90s, right? We didn't see a bunch of motherfuckers getting surgery to be, you know, get their sexuality changed.
Yeah.
That's just the facts. So it's just, to me, we're seeing modern day life presented to us. And Dave Chappelle is just presenting a truth. That's all he's doing. And I like what he did in his specials. He used, Caitlyn Jenner. What's the...
Bruce Jenner.
Yeah. Yeah, he used that as an example in his special, but what he was trying to emphasize was he was a historian. Like, he has history here, and he converted himself into a woman, and then won Woman of the Year, his first year as a woman, you know, that it's hilarious. It's a joke. And Dave just presents the joke in his style. That's all I'm saying.
It's like Eminem winning, like, Black of the Year.
Blackest man of the year. Is, right. Yeah. Eminem gets a very, like, you know, he gets a skin change for something, yeah. Like some new technology. Yeah. M is black now. And the first year he's black, let's say he got his skin changed halfway through the year. And at the end of the year, still won Blackest Man of the Year award.
Yeah. Right. I mean, a lot of,
you know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like, you don't even have enough time to be black, man.
Imagine if that issue pulled over came enough, with, man. Imagine if that issue came with Michael when he transitioned.
Wow.
You know, skin pigmentation. We'll just take it at that level, not even about sex. Like, that white man could sing.
That's genius. That's, you know, right, though. That was a huge... Wait. That transition was offensive to people. Do y'all remember that? We were too young to kind of interpret what happened.
I was just confused. I was like, that's not Michael Jackson.
His name, he's not Michael Jackson. He doesn't even look like the Michael Jackson I know, right? But that was a controversial change for everybody. Right. And that just stemmed huge. Wait, hold on. The comedian community went crazy on Mike.
Yeah.
He was a huge target. Hey,
and he was asking for it too, because he made a song called Black or White.
Nobody reprimanded the comedians for talking shit about Michael.
So, and to piggyback on Andre's point too, Dave even just did a very tame bit to where a lot of other comedians,
they'd go all the way.
Yeah, like 10 years ago, they would have went a little bit more crazier than that. Dave did a really tame 2020
dance around the landmines
centric.
Yeah,
comedy special.
There was another,
and
big
people
blow.
Were still offended.
There was another big blow, I think, to the trans community. I'm gonna play devil's advocate again, where he was saying that their you know, so called pussy is not like, you know, the real thing.
It's not real.
Let's cut
our
dicks.
Wait, he's like, let's cut our dicks off and trick niggas into fucking us.
Yeah, that'd be a whole different story.
He's like, you want to do that shit like matching tattoos? Man, Dave's a genius.
You can kind of hear the crowd a little unsettled about it, a little bit on that one.
The truth hurts.
Oh, man. Y'all niggas need to grow the fuck
hurts.
Up.
Truth hurts.
People felt uneasy because it's just... It's a transition of your genitalia from one thing to the next. And it's like, well, it wasn't that before. You're still in the same vessel.
The root of it is they
get offended.
But the root of it is,
no more Tennessee two-stepping, guys.
Wait, no, but like, the root of it is sex changes are obscure.
Right.
And we have a comedy background, fellas. What do comedians focus on? The obscure. That's a weird phenomenon that people are just getting into now. It's a very permanent decision. You know what I'm saying? And people are reacting to that decision like it's a tattoo, right? I'm gonna change my sex. I'm not feeling it. I don't think I'm a man like anymore. I'm gonna be a woman, right? That's their choice. That's their decision. They're not making fun of them. They're making fun of the idea that that's what a person wants to do, right? I think Dave covered his ground perfectly. The joke is, what if I was Asian and I was in this body? Yeah. He was like, wouldn't that be weird? Like, isn't that a weird predicament to be in? I'm this Asian dude, this nigga body. Like, what do I do with this, right?
He said his wife hates that joke, by the way, and I could, like, totally see that because it is a little offensive.
But it landed so well. It makes his point.
It made sense.
I feel like this on the inside, right? Like, that's genius. That's all he was saying. Dave is saying in the specials, I understand where they're coming from. Oops. And I'm still... gonna make jokes about you guys because I'm a comedian.
Yep.
And I think it was Damon Wayans. Damon Wayans said Dave Chappelle's special got all stand-up comedians out of comedian slavery or something like that. That's what he said. He's like, Dave got us out of comedian slavery. And the concept is, in the last like 3 years, we have become our own police. And when a comedian says some shit that people are not uncomfortable with, we just destroy them. We cancel them and we get them out of here, right? You got to be Seinfeld for real now. You really got to be on your Jerry Seinfeld.
Super clean.
Super clean and don't offend nobody, but still be hilarious. Whereas where we began from, like you said, Def Comedy Jam. Man, I watched the first three seasons recently on Amazon, just chilling.
And
it's
some of the most,
it's incredible. It's incredible. The shit Martin's saying, man, it's incredible. The design of the show is, if you're in the audience, you're a target. If you chose to sit in the front, they're going to get you. And that's what happened.
That's why I always try to go in the back.
Right. Sit far away. Don't sit in the front. Right. That's a rule, though. You already know with Def Comedy Jam, I'm not taking no front seat because if I'm looking stupid, I'm either going to end up on stage getting clowned or the comedian's going to bring it up. Right. That's with comedy. Nowadays, it's like the audience has more power than the comedian. And that's not how it's supposed to work. The comedian rules the room because he's on stage.
I forgot which special it was on. He was doing an impression. And one of his impressions was of the audience.
Talking about them.
He's like, oh, I'm going to like get rid of you if you say something dumb or something. He goes, who is that? And everybody's like, I don't know. He's like, that's you.
That's you. And you're the worst motherfuckers I try to entertain. Right.
So it's like, so that's, can we use that as, that's a great example you actually bring up, because now I don't even want to call it canceling, because canceling gives the people on that other side too much power. No. This is virtual heckling.
Fuck. That's nice.
That is it.
That's nice.
Like, if anyone starts talking to me about my podcast and they're still in Little League, with like, oh, I've never recorded a podcast. Okay, you don't know shit then.
You don't know the rules.
You sit down, and to my measure, I'm not up to the measurements of anybody else in the podcast, but from what I know to what he hasn't or she, you sit down and just chill. Because I can whip up a show real quick versus what you could do. Mm. Or in the instance of we're with Andre and me, you know, all three of us, we rapped. We could spit a little bit off the top. We kind of take a little bit of that with pride.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're not, are we going to honestly listen to somebody? It's like, you can't rap. Okay, go ahead, Poindexter. What do you got?
And they don't know how to do it at all.
Yeah, if they don't know how to do it, it's like, I'm not going to give validity to that. But that's what hecklers do. It's like, dude, like.
With no, wait, to emphasize your concept even further, though, they don't even listen to hip hop. They don't know hip hop at all. So they don't even know that you're good at freestyling because they don't even know how that shit works.
And then you just get them with the hibbity bibbities and just slay them lyrically. That's it. But it's like that. It's like, you know, maybe we're not called, like, let's not call them cancel culture anymore. We could just call them virtual hecklers.
Hecklers, I like that.
You know, granted, there is validity to certain points to where people can actually should get canceled. If cancel culture was around with Michael Richards just dropping the N-bomb with the hard ER at the end, not just the A, but it was, that gives it the validity.
He does bring that up with the Me Too movement. He goes, I just don't like the way you guys are doing it. Like, you're wearing all black at the Golden Globes. What is that going to do? Like, he goes, I just have a problem with your method. Your method is all wrong.
Yeah. He goes, it's bullying.
Yeah.
And that's, I agree with it. To me, it's bullying. If I... Let's say I got in a confrontation with somebody at a party for some reason, and it's some small shit, like Jordan level shit. Like, I stepped on his shoes, he got mad, he pushed me, I punched him in the mouth, he fell down, people recorded it, right? Let's say that person's from that community, right?
Ooh, yeah.
I could be I could lose my job possibly if they want to escalate it. And think about the internet.
Oh, and it's a hate crime.
Yeah, and they could escalate it in so many angles, right? And let's say I had no context to him being in that community. I was defending myself. I punched him, and I didn't even want to fight him after that. I just wanted him to get away from me. Let's say somebody saw that and they recorded it, and there's evidence. They could just say, "Hey, it's an assault. It's a crime. It's an assault now." And it can be escalated to whatever degree they want to take it to. Let's say they put it on TikTok and they just have a good narrative with it. They just have a good narrative. Lyricology 101 punch assaults LGBTQ community, right?
And knew it. And just put dot, 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 and knew it.
And let's say I got caught slipping, like, when I punched him or something. Like, get off me, bitch. Like, you know, and I was defending myself, right?
And he called him a bitch. You know what I'm saying? And they can just imagine me though, right? You know what I'm saying? Right. That's some simple shit. Just because I have some kind of name and that person is part of a community, put that together and use your narrative, you could destroy me.
It's how they spin it.
It's how they spin it.
That's how they would spin it in some instances.
Right. So let's say Dave is offended a group, and that group isn't large. Let's just say he offended a certain percent of people. And that certain percent of people banded together and attacked the internet and let the internet spread it. Then you see Dave Chappelle getting attacked from angles that don't make sense. How did he get to Netflix? Netflix is afraid to lose money. So Netflix is trying to appear like they are responding to the situation, right? Co-CEO said, y'all bitching, y'all tripping. And they flipped on him and he changed his statement like a week later, right? He said, oh, I'm sorry, I misjudged. I didn't know there were so many people hurting. Right. He changed his commentary. And what happened after that? We started hearing hearsay about people walking out. So I'm like, yo, Netflix must have realized this community is strong and didn't want to lose profit. So they pulled back and made the best decisions possible. That's what it feels like. It feels like really good marketing, really good business.
Yeah, it's just more adverts to the special itself.
What are the numbers on the special right now? Are they higher than ever because all this controversy? I'm pretty sure.
People have to watch it.
It was like numbered like top three or four in popularity on the Netflix.
His last special. You don't think they're trying to fucking, you know, really, you know, leave with a bang? The last special he has, everybody's offended, right?
After you're done watching it, things you might like: Delirious, Raw, Chappelle Show, a few of the White Chicks.
Yeah. Yeah, just call the special Fatality, man. Like,
you know,
for real.
You know, and he does say very clearly his problem's always been with the whites.
Yeah.
It wasn't really with the trans community. He was just addressing things that have occurred from his last specials or whatever, some jokes he's made and stuff, and now it's kind of built up to this. But it's always been, he said, with the whites. That's where my problem has always been from my early career to now.
And I think his punchline for the closer was, you guys are using whites technology.
Yeah.
Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, you're using the, you have the spoils and the access to white privilege as this community. You can be any race you want in that community and you can get away with white privilege somehow. Mm. And it's really interesting because I've seen it. It's like, I'm gay. And he said I couldn't go into his store because he didn't like me. And it's because I'm gay. And that owner probably didn't even mention his gayness. He just brought it up. You know what I'm saying? That's just extra. That's sauce on it. You know what I mean? So, yeah, as far and we're not going in on this because I don't want this to flip later and some motherfucker like take all of our words. Right. I'm just saying this is a very strong community. It's a very strong community. And if you're sensible enough, you can understand every side of that community. I think we all in this group are strong and smart enough to understand how that community operates and what they've dealt with. That's just,
said, you know, too, that he misses like this community, but the 90s version of it.
Oh,
like,
yeah. Hardcore. Oh, yeah. Yeah. The glory hole gays.
Yeah. The glory hole gays. Like, he misses those gays. Like.
I mean, yeah. Because they really had a stand up for the issues at hand, and they were really dealing with Stonewall. They were barely on the genesis of HIV AIDS.
He goes, not these gays, because
dealing with a lot of
sensitive.
Yeah, dealing with a lot of people. I mean, back then, the HIV AIDS disease was, there was a direct stereotypical correlation to those gay people made this disease. Get that out of here. Come on, like, how elementary is that? But yeah, he was saying, like, you know, he misses those, like, those gays who actually really, like, rose up and did something versus these guys who are just
social media warriors.
Net bangers. Yeah. They're just net bangers.
Let's go. Yeah. I mean, they got the clout and they got that, they almost have a shield. They almost have a shield and it's been given to them in the last 3 years. I really feel it's been something that arose in the last three to 5 years, without a doubt, because it emerged out of nowhere. And this group just keeps growing. They just keep adding more people.
More letters.
Dave Chappelle, more letters, yeah. Who,
Dave Chappelle
next?
Said
now it's
it,
gonna be numbers.
Said it best in one of his open monologues to Chappelle's show. He's like, don't like me too much. White people come here to take over. Or like, white people come in here and cancel me. Don't like me too much.
Oh, yeah. He did say that.
And then at the end of the show, he's like, well, we're the white guys and we're here to take the show over. Get those lights down. Turn off the power. You guys can leave. Make sure you stack up the chairs after you guys leave.
You know, and David Chappelle even said, you know, he addressed the situation like, you might say, like, who are you to address it? He goes, I'm the person that got off the bus. I'm the person that left the 50 mil. Mm-hmm. You know, that's who. And I think he made a valid point. Yeah. He made a valid point. I mean, you know, he's somebody who chose to stand up for himself and not, you know, cave in to what everybody else wanted. And he was truthful and honest with himself. And so, you know, this is somebody we know and we respect because of that. Mm-hmm. And that's why we give him that platform and that voice to be able to be one who can, you know, critique or give commentary to today's, you know, culture or society, which I think is what he's doing. He's addressing the elephant in the room, things that nobody can really touch on or talk about because they're too scared because of what might happen to them if they say something. You know, I know Kevin Hart has experienced it. He brought up Kevin Hart saying that, you know, he had to apologize for 6 weeks after turning it down. He turns it down and then he still apologizes for 6 weeks, you know. And he brought out Louis C.K. Mm-hmm. I thought he was like really pleading their case, you know, to the trans community, to the LGBT community, saying, hey, you're taking out these guys who they're my peers here and they're hard workers. They're good people, and you're taking them down for things they said, but they're comedians.
Yeah, so it's and you're diminishing their work into what you feel like was an impulsive quote or phrase, where it was, no, there was months and months of work. I think, you know, the background that we were blessed with is to see how much work goes into stand-up comedy. And to know when a person, you know, loses their shit and says, oh, you said something offensive. You have to realize, you know, I connect hip-hop music to stand-up comedy because you got to write that shit. You got to write it perfectly. And if you fuck up your bars and forget, you got to freestyle, right?
Mm-hmm.
So if you're a good comedian, you could freestyle and write and do them both perfectly.
And hopefully... And
Dave Chappelle does them both.
Yeah. There was a cell phone call in the middle of his, like, what he was saying, a joke.
And he rocked it.
Rocked it.
Made that shit his. Goes,
what if it was his mom died?
His phone? No! Yeah. Wait, no, he's like, oh, I think his phone is gay. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I think his phone is gay.
Isn't that an odd time for that call to ring?
Right.
Mama dead. No!
But, you know, and Chappelle, you know, to me, is my, like, the quintessential hip-hop comedian, right?
Well said, Andre. Oh, yeah. Absolutely. Well,
he's the hip-hop comedian. So I think people are just trying to direct their anger to something that makes sense. Chappelle's an easy target. Because if it was some random fuck at DBA doing a comedy set on stage.
Oh, don't give credit to DBA.
Hey, but I'm just saying, if it's some random dude, like, just random guy at a bar, and we record him and he's talking crazy about trans, and he's saying some stuff that I know would be off the chart because I've seen it in person. I've seen how far these amateur comedians go to offend people without being funny.
To where it's not even funny. It's to where it's like, get this guy off stage.
It's not funny. You're being like blatantly racist, blatantly sexist without a punchline. I could tell you freestyled it and just said something messed up for a laugh. Compared to Louis, who sat down and wrote it and refined it and practiced it, saw it, tried it, saw what worked and failed, took out the worst parts and refined it to perfection and hit the stage. I know the difference. I could see it and feel it. Chappelle got that. Kev got that. Kevin Hart got it. And without a doubt, Dave and Louie, man. I always look at Dave and Louie as those guys. Even Bill Burr. Bill Burr's special is well written and it's offensive. It's so offensive. It's angrily offensive. And I feel like nobody reacted to him because it's Bill Burr.
Yeah, he had the complexion for the connection.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. He's a teammate. Everybody knows him. So Dave is black. And he's always been confrontational.
As soon as Dave Chappelle gets a Star Wars spinoff on Disney Plus, I can't believe I'm saying this, but this is true. As soon as he hits the Disney Plus or the Disney fame, he's a part of the gang. You know, because Bill Burr was on The Mandalorian. Yeah, Bill Burr, which was funny. It's funny, ironically, Bill Burr actually wrote and was with Dave on Chappelle's show.
Facts.
Yeah, he was on Chappelle's show with Dave. You'll see early skits. You know, some like more famously.
Some people don't even realize that actually. Yeah. That he was actually on there too.
More famously, he's on the he's the one that's like, you know what? I'll have a Sam Jackson too.
Yeah.
I love that.
I like when they did the draft of, and they were like, it was like the Asians and the blacks trying to vote for Tiger Woods or something. That was.
Wasn't that? Yeah, that.
And he was a cop on the Law and Order.
Like,
so.
if you were to go to the cutting room floor and get like a bunch of people that are sensitive to this community, right? a lot of stuff wouldn't make, you know, if you were to get the clean version of Chappelle's Show, the approved, the Gen Z approved version of Chappelle's Show,
the PAX edited version,
you'd have 18 minutes of three seasons. And those are the musical performances. Because none of it, wow, none of it should pass. The was it the all white family who had the last name, you know, the N word?
Yeah, yeah, got it.
Yeah, thank you.
He talked about family. It too. He said my show was the one that was always getting hit up by these PR people, or whatever, saying you can't say this.
Let's look at this, man. I feel like they're just escalating, man. Because even when Chappelle's Show was rocking,
the community was still there.
Community was with him. Community was with Dave, man. And Dave was the type of black guy that made everyone comfortable.
Okay? Yeah, he even had the gay character from Sex and the City do a couple of skits. Like, ask a gay dude.
Nah, that's what I'm saying. No, all that shit that he did on the Chappelle Show, like I mentioned, was far more offensive than what he's doing in his special.
But yeah, and then there's just the community was still with it, whether any which part of the community.
Right.
Yeah,
and when he was gone, we were screaming for him. So I don't know who these people are. I don't know who these new characters are that hate him all of a sudden.
Because
when he was gone, people were screaming for his return.
We were all waiting for it. And that's why I think it's so awesome now that he's back and like doing his thing.
He's better than ever.
Yeah, better than ever.
I feel like he's a different Chappelle every special. Real talk.
And like how you were saying, he made you feel comfortable, like, you know, back on the Chappelle Show. Talking about all these controversial things, he was able to make you laugh about it. You know, that's what Chappelle's been. You know, he's always been touching on those pop culture references, things that are going on, the elephants in the room, whatever it be. He was always touching on those things. That's what David Chappelle.
Imagine a world where you could just make people laugh, and the people that are offended are just don't listen to it, and then just go, all right, that's it.
The people who are offended are canceled.
I mean,
oh man,
yeah.
Wouldn't you love that?
Yeah,
that would. I mean, that work. In all seriousness, though, but it's like,
if you're not in on it, and you don't get it, then why don't respond?
Yeah,
if you don't get
exactly.
the joke, don't respond. And to me, if you're at a comedy show and somebody says something that offends you, you should not leave furious. You should leave understanding you were at a comedy show and that's what you're gonna get.
Yeah, walk in there. Do you fully understand? You may get offended at some of these jokes,
right?
But hey. That's the place you're in. That's equal as you sitting in that seat at the comedy show is equal to you playing the play button on your TV in the comfort of your own house.
Right. The best picture I got for you guys is you walk to a haunted house and they give you they go, look, before you buy this ticket, it's a haunted house.
You won't get scared.
You won't be afraid. They're gonna put their hands on you. You probably ain't gonna get out of here alive, right? You know. Saying all that shit, and you still get a ticket, that's on you. You should not leave that and say, they scared me and I'm going to sue you. Right? That shit ain't going to work in court.
I didn't think I was going to get scared at the House of 1,000 Corpses maze. I want my money back. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, I can't believe there were corpses in there.
And, you know, he brings it up too. He says that, you know, there was a woman following him saying, you know, I saw your comedy and... You know, you don't like women. And he's like, what? Like,
get out of here.
And he's like, okay, one, did you buy a ticket to my show? Like, where did you see this at that you're even referencing? Two, did you watch me on Netflix? You know, or did I go to your car and do my whole stand-up bit?
Like, nice.
And then she was like trying to answer and he just cuts it off. Like, bitch, I gotta go. Leave it in the comments.
I love that.
Like, man.
Because that carries the same weight as, you know, vocalizing it to Dave literally is equal to just putting in the YouTube comments.
That shit bothers him. He admitted it. Like, things people say.
Made a good bit.
It gets to me. Like, those he's a real human being. Like, you know, and so, you know, and he said that wasn't the only person. Like, there has been multiple women, and that's why he felt he had to address this, because... You know, there's a whole community of women who feel like he doesn't like them, you know.
It's affecting his livelihood.
Yeah, it's affecting his livelihood. But I just wanted to, you know, touch on, like, Dave Chappelle as a person. Like, he's always been, you know, somebody who I think that we've looked to that has been able to make us laugh in those, you know, in those times when things might be, we might be going through it as a country or whatever. You know, from the Chappelle Show to up till now, he's doing basically what he's been doing this whole time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I love the fact that no matter what era Dave does a comedy bit at, it's like, you know what? I'm going to call it the obvious. It may be a hot pressing, hot button topic, but whatever. Is the black community offended that he started talking about Sunny Delight and the fact that they, oh yeah, but when they started showing grape soda, you see the black dude in the back getting all crazy about it. Like, no, like no one got offended. I want
that purple stuff.
Like, it's anytime George Lopez does something stupid, he's always taught, his whole bit has been like, hey, have you ever noticed that Mexicans do this? Have we ever been offended?
No.
Get out of here.
No.
Like, Dave Chappelle is someone that is outside of that community. And I bet you if somebody within that community started saying the whole romper room of jokes that he said, it'd be a little bit different story. But
that's what it feels like. It feels like it's a bunch of people coming from an outside perspective.
I love how he tries. He thought he's slick, right? That's a sick ass plan.
The way he did that was the sickest.
You're not supposed to address it. Just keep it moving.
That was the sickest. Like,
the name's Bond.
I've ever seen James anybody code here. Them opening up a beer.
That goes up. That's like with me. Because all right, I'll lay you in real.
You fake a sneeze.
Let the audience in on what happened. Just what just occurred right now. Like,
I thought y'all fucking it up. It was a perfect execution.
Oh yeah, right. There's gonna be a little. There's gonna be people with ears bleeding. Like what the? Watch, heck
they're
just
gonna
happened?
Run it back and be like, I didn't hear nothing.
Isaiah, on your deep end at a minute 45. There was a loud popping. My eardrums aren't the same.
Was that Andre opening up a beer?
Yeah.
Specifically, am I correct? Knows the can.
Am I correct to assume that Andre? The man of Lyricology 101.
Technicians, like,
that sounded like a natural light.
Yeah, they're all like messing with the treble.
they know the size of the can.
The audio levels. I just got a new subwoofer. What could it be? So that reminds me of the times where I would go into movie theaters with a tall can in my. I tried to get the right moment.
Oh my God.
I tried to get the right moment of where to open this tall can. And in the moments where I pick a very decent action-packed moment, this guy decides to use his own word. But
certainly, you know what I'm saying? You gotta use certain sounds.
He used a good
you gotta use the right word, bro. That was the dopest
cover up I've seen so
far. It's not a cover up now, nigga. Y'all motherfuckers and went backwards and
That was as subtle as a heart attack, dude.
Well, as far as what Dave and his fucking specials, man.
Yeah, you get someone from the inside part of the community saying those same jokes, do they get a pass?
In a sense, they kinda do.
Yeah.
They're going to get away with saying, and I think the concept of Dave on the closer was, can a person from that community be racist? Or the specific punch is, can a gay person be racist?
Absolutely.
Can they be racist? And I think there's this play on it. I think he said yes, right?
Yeah.
But just the concept overall is like, they have different rules. And I think that's the punchline. Like,
he gave example of those differences, like his personal experiences with that. Somebody had, I guess, called the police, and you know, he's like,
yeah, he played certain cards at a certain point really quick.
Like, you turned white on me real fast.
Facts.
And you know, this guy's a big dude, he described, big dude, didn't even have to go there, but decides to do that, you know.
Yeah, played on to the point where it's like, yeah, you guys don't forget to be white when it's right, you know.
Yeah.
And but then he kept getting this criticism that he's punching down on the trans or the LGBT just communities, punching down on them. And it's like, where does this come from? I guess it was an article, and he's like, everybody's just reiterating this article to me that I'm punching down on everybody. And it's like, you think of David Chappelle, and I don't think of a guy who's punching down on a community just for the hell of it.
He's not even thinking about that shit. And I think, let's get to this point. Out of this whole big picture, everyone is just looking for something to talk about, and that's it. They're just desperately seeking a subject to give their perspective on. And for some reason, I don't think this generation is strong on the knowledge of Dave Chappelle, so they just jumped on something that everybody was offended by.
Yeah,
it's that easy, baby.
And what we'll do is we'll make them watch seasons one and two of Chappelle's Show. If they laugh, everything else is null and void. And we'll just go with that. Like,
if the perspective is biased simply because they didn't get to experience Chappelle's Show when it was hot, right?
Yeah,
we got an authentic Chappelle's Show experience. And I feel like this new generation, cancel culture generation, is like, we could show it to them now, but they're already offended, right? So it's like trying to tell a joke to somebody that you pissed off already, right?
Yeah.
I just got in a fist fight with you, and he's like, okay, can you tell him a joke to make him feel better? You know, it's like, oh, let's see what happens. That shit ain't gonna land. You know what I mean? Or the equivalent of, you know, when we were doing comedy, me and Mark were doing stand up. It's like when we told these females, like when we go to the bar, we're like, yeah, I'm a stand up comedian. She's like, oh, tell me a joke. It's like, you know, we're out of context. It's not the same situation as being on stage and it's already ready to
being put on the spot versus like if we actually engage with them in conversation, a right moment pops up. You know, you make a girl laugh. Boom, right. That's it. Or make anybody laugh.
Right. But I give you the image of who I am. I give you an identity. I'm a comedian. Oh, well, I have expectations from you now.
Yes.
So Dave Chappelle showed up on stage as a comedian, right? And we have expectations from a comedian. You're supposed to make me laugh and feel good. And I'm a trans person. And when I listen to your special, it made me cry, right? That's all we're getting. So all we're hearing is statistically, Dave Chappelle's special connects with everybody but the trans community. Statistically, that's still good. He probably got a little B+ on his test, man.
Yeah, his rating's probably still. I mean, that Netflix rating is probably in the 95 percentile.
Who else could do that though? Like comedic wise, who else would be? Because I haven't seen anybody else really jokes like, you know,
that could hit everybody.
That could like mock it a little bit, but still make fun of
Jerry. If Seinfeld got on stage and he would do it clean, but he would find a way to, you know, talk about trans community in a clean way, and I'm sure they would still get upset.
Word on the street.
I don't think he has the balls to do that.
I think he would tiptoe in a way that Jerry Seinfeld could do, and he would do it in a tasteful way. But he wouldn't do it in a manner that would offend. But I still believe people would be offended simply because he wrote a joke about trans people.
Because he wrote a joke about trans people.
They would be mad regardless.
If Jerry did his regular stand-up and like he said people with exact fare of on the bus, like one of his bits is like, who are these people with exact change on the bus? How do they have exact change? Like, that was his whole bit one time. So he may offend the people that, you know, just have more than the exact change on a bus. People get offended by that.
Well, I never wanted to be another type of person, you know. I never had fantasies of being a woman, you know. He'll find a way to be really, you know.
Yeah.
I call him professional as a comedian. There's an interview with Ricky Gervais, Chris Rock, Louis C.K., and Jerry Seinfeld, and they're just kind of sharing their method, right? And all of them are just like, yeah, if I got to go dirty, I go dirty, right? And they're like, oh, we're here with Mr. Clean. So what would you do if you were me? He's like, well, I wouldn't even cuss. You know, he's like, I don't even think about cuss words. I don't, you know, he was expressing how he would get his jokes out. And he's basically explaining, Jerry finds the middle ground and he makes sure he rides it perfectly.
Yeah, you barely.
And he does.
Yeah.
So as a comedian, The subject of trans is just funny. If you want to minimalize it and get in trouble, trans shit is funny.
Can we all admit that there is legitimate jokes to be had to make people laugh?
Sure.
In everything.
Sure.
Yeah.
And it's kind of new. It's kind of new material almost, like a new subject almost.
From something as clean as what...
That's all it is. It's the new thing to talk about,
from
man.
Something as what clean what Jerry would do, talking about people with exact change to maybe different communities. Mm. I don't even want to get into specifics, but there's jokes everywhere to be had, and it just because Dave capitalized on certain jokes at a certain time that may have been insensitive to some people... Is that his fault?
The thing is, I feel like Dave was really just trying to level with the community. I don't feel like he was.
I love that.
Fucking special trying to kind of level the ground.
Yeah, he was just
saying, it's my last special and I'm just trying to get shit straight.
I hope it's laughing with you. Like,
right.
That's what he said. Like, the next joke I do, I hope it's laughing with you. To understand, like, I'm just trying to level with you. Like, get off your high horse a little bit.
Nah,
it's a joke. Laugh.
He's like, too smart for this shit, man. That's the only problem I have, man. He's just too smart for it.
People are taking the, it's comedy, just laugh. A lot of people within the community are taking it similar to the effect of when certain people told LeBron, when he started to voice his opinion about political issues, to shut up and dribble. No, this isn't it. This is something very trivial and something very simple as to, well, this is just comedy. Human interaction to laugh, to cry, to do all this. Are you going to be offended because you cried during a sad movie? No. But when similar issues come up in the form of a joke, to a certain extent, oh, I laugh, but you didn't.
Is the real offended. Issue coming mainly from the trans community and not so much the lesbian, you know, bisexual and gay community? Is
well, he's more... he's handpicking trans. That's what he's doing. So he's handpicking them, and that's what it is. He's
and anybody who has a hand in it is getting offended.
But look at it.
Say this with quotes, guys. Offended.
Well, can we change our perspective real quick and say that if we look at Dave Chappelle as a rapper real quick and say, you know, we know, like, look at him as a Lupe real fast and say Lupe specifically named the song Trans People and he wrote all these elaborate bars critiquing them, right? And we sit there and we dissect it and realize he's just spitting truth. It's not even, like, offensive. He's just giving the facts, like, you know, psychologically, this is the type of trans person that you'd meet, right? And he's barring out and it's dope, but he's saying something that to us sounds really dope. Like, man, it's a really cool Lupe song. But a trans person hears it and just cries. Like, they just hate it. It hurts them. It makes them feel bad. Is it a bad song? No. This one group of people didn't agree with it. And let's not say that every trans person reacts exactly the same way. Yep. We are now bracketing people.
It's right. Extremely layered.
It's too deep. Because you got to get into statistics to even understand what the fuck is going on, right? Because if you break it all the way down, out of the LGBTQTC plus sign community, the only ones that are being offended are the T's, right? Nobody else is really tripping on it. And even when Dave does a joke about what he's saying towards the trans community, he literally, before he starts the joke going, goes, I wrote this perfectly. So you can't be mad by the time I finish my joke.
Yep.
And then by the end of the joke, he says what he says about the trans community. And me as a writer goes, it's perfectly written. You can't be mad. You can't be mad because he wrote it so well. He thought of every reaction. He thought of how the punch would have landed. Just like a rapper. Just like Lupe, right? Like, you think of Lupe, you go, damn, he must have thought about how I would have reacted to that punchline.
Why are people taking their views into a place to where it's like you kind of, generally speaking, in comedy, you're supposed to have a blank slate and you're supposed to...
You're supposed to shut the fuck up and laugh, nigga. You're supposed to clear your mind.
It's the comedian at this point. And now my point at this point would be to just be like, yeah, we're talking about virtual hecklers or even just the hecklers that were there. Yeah. The jeerers, really, because no one's... You really try to go up again. You try to heckle Dave Chappelle on one of his specials, you will get obliterated. Not only will you get obliterated live, but they'll edit that portion out on Netflix, so you're never going to get your clout. So you could just chill on that. Facts. But it's like... no one's going to try that because you will get eviscerated in plenty of ways.
Can you imagine?
I hope, I pray every single day that no one tries that because I've seen
hecklers destroyed. Man.
I've seen hecklers taken care of as they should. And in this sense where people are heckling and posing these opinions like, oh, I disagree with Dave Chappelle at all costs. He is forever canceled. Like, okay, great. Keep that opinion there just because it's trending on Twitter. Let's not build on that. These guys are like getting their toothpick and putting their toothpicks with other toothpicks. Mm-hmm. Eventually you get enough toothpicks on this raging river. A lot of them will stay and then they're going to make this big dam. And now this dam is actually kept the water forming back. Mass, and it's like, you know what? No, we can't do that. This isn't. I am really strong against this because at one point that you two gentlemen do know, like I was almost tried that way in cancellation and I am anti that because it was just nothing of that sort. And that's it. That's just like stuff that gets to me, you know.
Introduce an idea?
Yeah, go ahead.
Well, let's say cancel culture is just prominent because it's a trend. Everybody's wearing cancel culture, right? You're wearing cancel culture? I'm wearing cancel culture. All right. So let's say everybody's doing cancel culture. Cancel culture. It's a cancer, whatever. But cancel culture is real, right? Wait, hold on. And with cancel culture, let's think about this. How long is the expiration date on the cancellation? Because that wasn't subtle at all. That was actually a beat where there was silence.
No, because I plan to go back and edit that out during that dead space.
That's cheating, man. That's cheating.
It is cheating. Because I can do that. I'm producing this.
Let's look at the bigger picture, and it's like, okay, they canceled Dave. How long is Dave going to get canceled? Because in reality, we need a Dave Chappelle to do his job.
No.
So cancel culture can do what the fuck they want. You could be canceled for a week. The baby joke to me feels like, okay, he made his point. Y'all canceled the baby, but let's see what happens in a year. yeah. when you go to his fucking concerts again. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, DaBaby really just had, in his life, in his career expectancy as an entertainer, has barely had a cup of coffee in the big time. He can get, and I say this with quotes, canceled for a little bit, but then he comes around and does his thing. Chris Brown?
Facts.
Do I really want to address the elephant in that room? Because he's been making beats in the studio and on women.
Oh my God.
You know what I mean? And it's like the people, I see women still swooning. Homeboy still hoops.
Right.
He's accepted still, by he's a lot still of living cultures. His life. You know, it's like, are we really going to like play these cards to where it's like, oh, everything past the Twitter combination with Instagram, we can't really go back and do that homework. Oh crap. Robert Downey Jr. played a black dude in Tropic Thunder. Oh my God. Let's at least try to reverse cancel culture. And you see how that went. That was ridiculous.
They tried to cancel him.
It's like for stupid shit. That was
they
cute.
Tried to cancel him for shit.
That was cute.
They didn't even hear Kim. They didn't hear Kim yet. They were canceling him for shit that happened later. You know what I'm
remember that time we were at Fridays and the people we were talking to never heard of the Slim Shady LP.
Yeah, I remember.
That was nuts.
So think about that, man. I'm just saying, like, you know, this is a different generation.
We're that season, bro.
We're seasoned and they're not tapped in to certain ideas. So I think overall, I ain't that old. These are premature assumptions. And I think the concept and the value of stand-up comedy is shifting because comedians are afraid now. Comedians don't want to... Because think about it like this. My job is to be on the stage and say what I want, but if I say the wrong thing, my career's over. It's not fun anymore. I can't talk about rape. It's going to get... I'm going to get a lot of trouble if I talk about rape because rape victims will come out of nowhere. Me Too movement will shut my whole situation down.
Everyone on social media right now with... I think in a certain age range feels that their platform is equal to that of a, not just a soapbox. I can get on my soapbox and be anti whatever, but no, they think they have a literal stage to where they can voice out and think about and say these things. That's interesting. I myself at my age range, dude, I got a little ice cube size thing to stand on my opinions about things.
But you bring up an interesting point. People nowadays, a lot of different people have different platforms and it's a different type of soapbox thing now.
Yeah. So. It's, they can think that they have this soapbox to do that and do all that, but it's like, no, I mean, I even heard that the person that was trying to initiate this walkout actually got fired.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I heard about that. They joined the meeting that they shouldn't have joined. They joined the executive meeting. They just joined on it. Like, they weren't supposed to be on that meeting.
Yeah. So now everyone's offended that she got fired. We're like, well, let's go back to the rules and regulations of company protocols at Netflix. She probably violated something of that sort and got fired.
Right. But let's sit down completely and go, that trans person overreacted. And it's so simple. They overreacted. No. He didn't say anything on that level. If right now I could say something fucked up. Like, yeah, I saw a trans guy and I hated that he was trans and I shot him in the face and said, stop being a pussy. And people laugh. That's offensive somewhere. Dave did not say anything like that. Not even close to what I just said. Dave Chappelle wrote well thought out jokes and they came together and it worked, man. And then he even did callbacks to these jokes to prove that I wrote this whole shit. It's good. And people simply are just hopping on a trend.
And he shared the story with Daphne. He shared the story.
Where he ran into that.
Right, yeah. So he has a friend. He shared the story and, you know, his own experience. And just to show you, like, yo, I'm not against trans people like you probably think I am. And just trying to shake your hand, level with you. Hey, my name's Dave.
Yeah.
Like, you know,
I'm a comedian. But my job is to make people laugh.
Right.
But don't you think that Dave... Low-key sacrificed a lot of his comedy simply to get shit straight. With
I mean,
I feel like half the special was just trying
was
to get shit
for
straight.
Like, when he barely came back, he was just beloved. Everybody loved this fool.
Right.
You know? Everybody loved this fool.
Right.
So, yeah, he did. He
imagine
did
the jokes
sacrifice.
that didn't make the cutting room floor. I mean, imagine the jokes on the cutting room floor.
That,
like,
what about
I can't say this would be too offensive.
Can you imagine that?
Yeah,
because there has to be some that didn't make it.
Yeah.
There's obviously some that didn't make it.
That's going to be a Netflix special. It's going to be called Dave Chappelle, The Cutting Room Floor. I'm going to say the jokes that didn't make it.
Right, all the jokes that offended people.
And it made it on this show.
And it's the most offensive one ever, right?
Yeah, the sensitivity is too high for some people. And I honestly, I don't even think they really care. They just want to be heard.
Now, you know what? Now I'm mad that I, I don't know what the hell I did with all my Chappelle Show shirts. I had a bunch.
Yeah, you're a big Dave Chappelle dude, yeah, man.
And fucking, what, Kangles and shit.
Oh, yeah. I started wearing Kangles because of that Kangles. Dude.
Most deaf and fucking Dave Chappelle, Matt Kangles.
Yeah, that's true. Man.
So, whoa. Like, what do you, and I'm going to, like, start to, you know, start to come bring this to a close, but I want to talk about Dave Chappelle's legacy as a comedian. He still got so much more still in the tank, oh, yeah. But... you know, just from all this, from this point, like you even brought up, like he even has an arc now,
yeah,
that I think is just like amazing for, to turn a situation that was absolutely terrible, I think at that moment, to what it is now is just incredible. Well-respected in the community, in the comedian, you know, community. And I think whether you like his jokes or not, you still respect the fuck out of Dave Chappelle. Yeah, you know, even those who are offended, I bet you on some level respect him. Yeah. Still.
Oh, they were laughing. Yeah. A lot of people were laughing during the Chappelle Show. That's my callback to everything. It's right. Like, you know what? Like, you could say that you were offended by Chappelle's show. Well, I bet you I could find a couple skits you'd like.
Right. You laugh at the blind KKK.
Oh, yeah.
You laugh at that shit.
White people like that. Black you'd people laugh like at that.
The Wayne Brady. Everybody. Sketch.
He, for a long time, had a white fan base that was, I think, pretty, like, predominant in his own fan base, you know?
Yeah. I call it the Will Smith fan base. He had the Will Smith fan base where it's like you have this perfect racial balance. And Dave had it, right? And then after Dave left, Comedy Central went on a desperate search to find the new Dave. They landed with Key and Peele, but it took a while for them to even get there.
Call Carlos Mencia. Shit, it didn't work.
It didn't work. Fucking Jeff
Dunham. We even got the same stage.
Get the guy with the puppets. Jeff Dunham. Fucking flop. Didn't work.
All right, re-air Crank Anchors. We'll find something else.
Get Nick Swartzen. Give that fool a show and see how that goes. Nick Swartzen's a imaginary good time or whatever show is.
Oh, crap. Sarah Silverman. What is she doing?
Get the Sarah Silverman program together. You know what I'm saying? Mm. Like, as many shows as they tried to get rolling, it didn't hit like Chappelle's show.
What about that skinny cat with the long black hair? What was his name?
You're not talking about Cat Williams, are
you? No.
Man.
No, it was like some Alex something or like, it was... He was after Sarah Silverman. They had like this. It wasn't Andy Milonakis. No, it wasn't. It was a skinny white guy with black hair, and he had his own sketch comedy thing on.
Dimitri Martin.
Dimitri Martin. Yeah.
Dimitri Martin.
But he's funny, but it's not the level of Dave.
Right. Me. See, he was just another fill-in.
Yeah.
Until they found Key and Peele, and they were just like, yeah, but actually.
Key and Peele was Key and Peele really kept it going. They grabbed that shit, paused, and kept that legacy moving.
Yeah, they did it their own way, too. I mean, even though it's a little similar to Dave Chappelle's show, but it's still different.
So let's even say this different. Too is that Dave really took a lot of risks in the beginning too, because Dave Chappelle's show started 2001-2002, and this is off of the Half Baked was 98. So this is a time where it's like, well, he's not really getting a lot of work. He's not really doing a lot of things. He did the You Got Mail. He did all that.
But he didn't have a lot of competition. Yeah.
But as far as
black comedians, as a marketable. Non-binary marketable person, Dave Chappelle was that guy.
Yeah, but I'm saying it's like they still took a risk of saying, hey, look, Dave is funny, Dave is comedian, but can he do sketch comedy? Mm. So he hit it out of the park. Season one and two of Chappelle's show is still in the top 10 of the most bought seasons, the most bought season box sets.
Chappelle was smart enough to take Chappelle's show off of streaming services until they properly paid him.
Yeah.
Remember that?
Good point.
But here's the game though. Look at it. This is a man that left the industry and had no power for like 10 years.
Right.
And he came back.
Didn't even look for it.
He was hidden.
Didn't even look for the power.
And he came back and he was dominating the game, bro. He was everywhere when he came back. Real talk. Right.
Even so, when he voiced, even when he voiced his opinion on why he left, remember he had that Oprah special? Yeah. Bro, Oprah I tuned special. In. I haven't watched Oprah in years.
He really became
I tuned in to watch that because I was like, man, what did Dave really leave to Africa?
He really became like
Are the rumors true?
Right.
Like a folk hero.
Yeah.
That's kind of what Dave became.
Well, I'm like a mental health advocate because he said he was burnt out.
Well, I feel like he metaphorically represents somebody that didn't sell their soul. Right. Yeah. That's what everybody wants to say, right?
Yeah.
He didn't sell his soul and he came back still as Chappelle and got to do Chappelle shit. And then he somehow became a dominant figure in comedy again as an individual that's not affiliated with the industry.
Right.
Netflix is not the industry to me. Netflix is still somewhat of an underground commodity despite it being so popular. Because Netflix could present a film that Hollywood would not post or present. Right, yeah, yeah. They always take the movies that Hollywood says no to, and then that shit blows up. Like Bird Box probably failed to Hollywood, and they just pass it to Net. Right, so just think about it like that. So Dave found the perfect pocket to return in, and he handled that business. All those specials in all their own ways are perfect. Okay, and I'm not gassing them. Dave Chappelle is good as what he does, good at what he does, and. With Dave Chappelle's situation, he's a great freestyler and he's a great improviser and writer, right? And he's expressed that through all these specials in Netflix. You've seen the example and the evidence of what he can do. This last one, The Closer, to me, I just feel like it's just controversy to get all these eyes on Dave one more time before he takes this long hiatus again. Because to me, there's no reason people are reacting this much. There's no fucking reason. It doesn't even make sense. It's like Dave Chappelle has a secret battle going on with the trans community, and we're just getting to watch it through his specials. That's what it feels like.
So I think Netflix is doing the perfect booking for what they probably want to do. It's like, hey, we got to get something going before he heads out. This is the last thing you got.
Last thing we got.
Let's just say someone within our office is upset at this, and ironically, it is Netflix, and we'll say we fired her. That'll work.
She'll keep working for us and it'll just continue as normal, right? Because why would a trans member of Netflix go, oh, I'm offended? It's madness. It's marketing.
Who's also a Shakespearean actor by how Andre just said.
Like you said, it was
She's
written.
A thespian? She's a lesbian.
She's thespian too?
She's a thespian. The lesbian.
The thespian community is upset. Wait, you said thespian?
That's
the
lesbian. A nice mesh right there.
The lesbian community.
Okay, half of you have to leave. Well, half of you can leave if you want. I mean,
so yeah, man. Like, look, and this is the end of my whole situation right now. I'm gonna shut up after this. People overreacting. The end. That's all it is.
Dave Chappelle's legacy solidified.
His legacy is unaltered.
Chappelle the GOAT of comedy.
Without a doubt. Not in my. Not.
He keeps prior moving, man. What are you talking about?
The GOAT of comedy. Come on. I even as much as I love Dave.
Okay, I'm sorry.
GOAT of comedy, you can't. Because
the GOAT means greatest of all time, right?
Yeah.
And that means putting him over Richard. And that's not true. Because we wouldn't have Eddie. We wouldn't have Dave without Richard. We would, but still, Dave Chappelle is going to be brought up in every comedian's conversation.
Yeah.
Okay?
He's in elite company.
Without a doubt.
The GOAT is always going to be, shout out to Ali from the Sports Junkies, but it's going to be debatable.
It's going
to
be...
But it's like he's in elite company. He's with the Richard Pryors, Eddie Murphys. He's with the George Carlins, the Jerry Seinfelds. He's with elite Dick company. Gregory's. You know?
To me, Dave Chappelle is the new Dick Gregory. If you don't know who Dick Gregory is, Google him. But Dave Chappelle is the new Dick Gregory. And all Dick Gregory did in his older years was offend the fuck out of white people. He did not care. You know what I'm saying? He was very offensive to white people.
Imagine if I was like, the GOAT, you think he's better than Carrot Top?
Oh no!
I prefer to. But yeah, dude, it's like I can remember the day I realized that Chappelle Show season one was going to be available. I found a way to take my happy ass to Ontario Mills to the Virgin Megastore to get the last, and the last copy that they had of the Chappelle Show season one. I was like, grab that shit, and I was just
right.
I have bought multiple copies of that thing because they have been scratched.
We're from the camp of Chappelle, fool. We was raised on this fool, man. So to people are gonna be laughing again, man. Y'all so it's are tripping like, on Chappelle. Y'all don't even watch the show. Y'all don't even know what you're reacting to.
Well, to that, my
change
friends,
of pampers.
To that, my friends, I'm gonna say cheers, man. We grew up off of Dave Chappelle, man.
Factual.
And you know what? That's Dave Chappelle is gonna tell it as it is. He's gonna be real. And if you can't handle that truth, then I don't know what to tell you. Then you don't like comedy, I guess, because he's a comedian and he's gonna say it and he's gonna do his shit. So
that's the deep end, baby. I like that.
That's the deep end for today, everybody. I thank you guys for joining us once again. I'm going to go ahead and give each of you guys a plug. You guys got your own things going on. Dre, go ahead and kick us off. Give us some plugs.
Check your boy out at Lyricology 101 on YouTube. We're doing breakdowns. You know, we're bringing you all of your sensual
nice and smooth
needs.
Love it.
You know what I'm saying? So if you want to hear rap music interpreted and broken down in a way you've never heard it before, then check out Lyricology 101. And if you're interested in extended freestyle experiences, you can check me out at TikTok, Instagram, which is also Lyricology 101. So I appreciate every last.
I also have Lyricology 1-900 numbers for that very extended
101-900
extended Ebony hotline.
It's 101-800.
It's 1-900 hard bars. That's 1-900 hard bar. I run the NotoriousPin.com. You can find us at on Instagram at LNotoriousPin. We carry a variety of apparel, pins, whatever you guys like. We guarantee that you'll like what you see. I'm going to go on the men's warehouse tip. When you wear one of our pins, you'll like
feel
look.
Like a real
you'll
man.
Like the way you look. I don't guarantee it, but you'll like the way you look. LNotoriousPin on Instagram and at thenotoriouspin.com. Please come out and support us at the various shows that we do too, because I'm the one doing those shows and popping up and doing those events. So really appreciate it. Thank you.
Guaranteed sex if you get
one. No, that's your 1-900 hard bars. That's not me.
Well, you heard it here, everybody. I hope you guys have a great week. Thank you guys for joining us. Tune in next time for The Deep End. Talk to you guys later.